Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network and Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50. And today, guys, we are so excited. We have an executive consultant, a million-dollar income earner. He dons the yellow jacket. And, you know, guys, a lot of times people kind of will say something about those yellow jackets. He's one of the guys that absolutely looks fantastic in his yellow jacket. He's on the co-founder leadership council as well as a Crystal Sphere Award winner. Help me welcome executive consultant Peter Luda. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, everybody?
Well, I'll tell you what, sir. I am so appreciative of you coming on the show. I'm always looking at the time you're spending with your family and the just really how sincere you are about your involvement with your family, and it's just great times. Let's just talk about, you know, kind of your start in Ambit and what your why was then, maybe what it is now, and how it's kind of changed over the years.
Well, Doc, I started with Ambit 8 years ago, and originally me and my wife, we discussed this opportunity, and we were hoping and praying this over time we will be able to create extra $1,000 to maybe $2,000 on a monthly basis and the residual basis, which will help us with some of the expenses of living. Over time, obviously, our goals and expectations grew, and right now we're enjoying this opportunity, you know, at the fullest.
Now, when you first got started, you were like super successful and just knocked out of the park, right?
Yes, of course. The first month, we achieved everything we were looking for. No, we have not. This was extremely hard. Actually, some of you are aware, I started Ambit 8 years ago when Ambit was not even licensed in the state of Illinois. Took Ambit additional 3 months after I joined. To receive a license, but I wasn't waiting, and we got busy from the day one, and we started building. We were very fortunate to have around 100 consultants in the first 3 months on board already before the license came, or before Ambit received the license.
And, you know, so when you were first coming into the market, though, it was only just gas, right?
Natural gas in the suburbs of Chicago, not even including city of Chicago. So we were having very small area to work with. And as I mentioned, only pretty much north and south and west suburbs of Chicago, with the exception of the city of Chicago. So we had to really, you know, focus and find the right customers in the right spot. And I don't know if you're aware, Doug, for the first 3.5 years, this is all we had, the suburbs of Chicago with natural gas.
So let's talk about that for just a moment, because, you know, we get real excited when we go to business presentations and we're talking to folks and recruiting people. And we, you know, we want them to be successful very quickly because, you know, we want them on our team to be successful. But I jokingly said, you know, you jumped out there and were successful in the beginning. And when you mentioned you sponsored 100 consultants and all those things, it sounds good. But you shared something with me about kind of the profitability for you for the first couple of years. And it was a struggle for you, right? So I want to hear about the good times and but also the bad times and how you persevered and pushed through that.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm a byproduct of people laziness in Chicago, and I don't want to say this, but I will, stupidity. You see, everybody was waiting for an easier time. Everybody in Chicago focused on when we're going to get electricity, when we're going to expand into the city of Chicago, when. And they were doing nothing or not much, at least. And we were the only one group which actually went to work, and regardlessly if it was easy or not, and I'm telling you from a perspective of time, this was not easy. This was hard, but we understood what kind of leaders we have in place. We understood what kind of corporation we are dealing with, and we knew they're gonna give us whatever they can when they can. And instead of waiting for easier time, we went to work and we developed a fairly large organization, the dominant organization in the state of Illinois. And obviously 3.5 years later, when we got finally the electricity was deregulated and we got the electric market, including city of Chicago, then everything else, you know, start making more sense financially. But the first 3.5 years was hard, extremely hard. We have not really opportunity to create any type of residual income, but we were able to have enough faith in our leaders, in Jerry and Chris, and also the leaders in the field. This, when the opportunity will be available for them, they're going to give it to us, and they did.
You know, closed mouths, you know, don't get fed, and people that don't work and don't do things don't typically, you know, get things done. You know, I've heard if it's to be, it's up to me. And it sounds like, you know, you really took that to heart, and I know you know you shared some information kind of in our pre-interview of just kind of, you know, just some of the decisions that get made, and you know, it's about hard work. It's about getting out there and making it happen and laying the groundwork and being, we hear Brian talk about it all the time, Brian McClure, our top income earner, about being consistent and persistent. And that's easy to do when you're making a bunch of money. And I'm not talking about that towards Brian. I'm saying it's easy to do when you're making a bunch of money to stay doing what you're doing. But it's another thing to keep hammering it out for 3 years or so with thinking that this is the potential is coming. And, you know, how did you keep all your consultants pumped up? I mean, how did you go through that? Because it's one thing for you to be self-disciplined. It's a whole nother thing to keep a team of others going and when it's not happening yet, and casting. Biblically, it talks about without vision, a people will perish. And obviously you kept them going. And I know you had some kind of a crazy record of signups. What was the number once we finally opened up electricity in Chicago? What did that look like those first couple months for you?
I was very fortunate to keep everybody excited, including myself, on fear of losing. Basically, we didn't have much, you know, back then, but we knew hopefully, you know, one day will come. And I would tell everybody for 3.5 years, that one, this is gonna be too big, this is gonna hurt you for the rest of your life if you give up right now. You put way too much effort. And as you mentioned, you know, we didn't only did something right, but we did something significant in those tough times. And this is what I keep referring to everybody in Chicago. I used to call myself back then, only we have only three states. Brian McClure dominate the whole company and dominate Texas back then. Ray Monty dominate New York, and I was the king of the desert. We didn't have much going on in Chicago, but the fear of losing allowed all of us to stay focused hard every single day, to stay motivated, because we knew this ambit will deliver, you know, will give us, you know, whatever we need at some point when they are able, you know, to receive the license and take advantage of the deregulation of electricity as well in Chicago. So to answer your question, you know, how, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, they used to call me ignorance and fire. I was pumped, and I am still 8 years later pumped. You know, sometimes, you know, I talk fast, I talk a lot, you know, I can't make sense out of everything, you know, I'm saying to people. But one thing always people said about me, this, no matter if they understood me or not, they knew I am passionate. And the passion, you know, as Mary Crowley would say, she'd rather have one person with the passion than hundreds with nearly an interest. And I guess I was one of a lot of passion, and this is contagious. If you're on fire, you are able to set other people on fire. And people watching my success, even during the difficult times, this didn't allow them to quit. And this kind of pushed them, you know, to do whatever we need to do on a daily basis. And not only survive, we didn't only survive, but we thrive, you know, during the difficult times. Obviously, you know, when we got electricity, now overwhelming amount of people in the state of Illinois promoting to executive position, creating tremendous organization size-wise and succeeding with me living in Texas for the past 5 years. So obviously the system works.
Sure. And, you know, you talk about that, you know, whenever it finally clicked, what kind of numbers were done? You know, like you said, you were in the desert, you know, wandering for 3.5 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, it finally came to fruition. All the seeds you planted sounds kind of like they all sprouted kind of at one time. But just share with the audience about how many meters were switched on in your organization within that first 60 days or so?
Well, in the first 3.5 years, we got about 10,000 natural gas customers, primarily in the state of Illinois. And this was not an easy task, Doc. You know, not too many people remember back then. We have credit checks in the state of Illinois. We have 1% savings. So we didn't have much selling point. You know, we really had to go out there and ask our friends to do us a favor. And when electricity was open, somewhere around 7,000 customers were switched literally in 1 month.
Whoa.
So if you have 10,000 happy customers for 3.5 years and they are excited about saving 1%, all of a sudden, I believe the first saving was 15% on the electricity side. Obviously, this was not hard to switch all the customers, considering our system doesn't teach us to switch thousands of them personally. Each one of us have only few. So we were able to hit the phones hard in the first few weeks and make sure they all are aware right now that they are able to switch electricity as well and save even more on that.
You know, that's a great example, guys, for all of us that are, you know, in the Texas market. I think we take for granted what we have at our fingertips. However, we continue to open up new markets, and I hear this excitement about, oh, there's going to be this market or there's going to be that market. And the reality is, if we're not doing a good job in our own backyard, what makes us think that we're going to do a good job getting on an airplane, flying somewhere, trying to get a team up there and get them built up to do it? I mean, it's a tough deal, but my point to that part of it is, focus on what you got to focus on right now. And then as these new markets open up, you can get things going. And as Peter, you know, kind of showed, you know, that we may open up just gas. We may open up just electricity. It may be only in part of the state, but you can see that if you keep laying the groundwork, if you keep planting the seeds, you keep watering them, you keep fertilizing them, 7,000 electricity meters turned on in 1 month in his downline. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I look at my power zone pretty often, and if I ever saw 7,000 come in at one time, that would that'd make me pretty dang excited. So I'm sure that was an exciting moment, especially after wandering around in the desert, as you said, you know, for those few years trying to get to that point. So tell me a little bit about kind of your elevator pitch, maybe your presentation. When you meet somebody, of course, and now you're a million-dollar income earner and all the things that have occurred now. But let's rewind a little bit. I mean, what were you, when you bump into somebody, how were you asking them or telling them about the opportunity, and what did it look like then, and has it changed now? Has it been pretty consistent?
Have not changed. The key is, you know, to stay excited. And I think sometimes, and this is my struggle, and I realize this, many of us, especially those of us which been part of Ambit Energy for a while, we becoming too logical. We start with the accolades. We start with whatever Ambit, you know, have accomplished, or we even sharing our accomplishments with people. And we just sound like a salesperson. And quite frankly, nobody likes salespeople in America. And so why are we trying to become one? Guys, this is about, you know, creating curiosity. And my way of creating curiosity, I'm really bad in approaching people. This is not my strength. But I kind of lure them to approach me. I'm the guy standing and smiling in the middle of Starbucks, and people start asking me, why are you so happy? And point is very easy, you know, for me to start the conversation and direct it that way I want it to be directed. But always been that way. This is all based on heart, not logic. This is based on fear of losing, on hope, building up momentum, building up some type of excitement. You got to look at this, Doc, that way. People are not excited in our nation. We're living in a terrible times. Economy still sucks, you know, we all the different things, you know, in our country are creating more and more chaos. And I feel, as a missionary, you know, we go out there and helping another, and I helped directly or indirectly, probably hundreds or thousands of people in the past 8 years to find hope, smile. And this is something, you know, which I never accomplished in anything I have done in the past 28 years living in three different countries. So I don't take this lightly, you know. Sitting in the front row and watching single mothers quitting their weekend job and being able to stay with their kids on the weekends, experiencing a grown man crying for the first time in public, feeling stronger, stopping foreclosures, stopping, divorces, things like that. We're always talking about millions, but, it's going to create tremendous wealth, you know, for us. But as I mentioned to with you, you know, at the beginning, I didn't look for millions originally. I was looking for $1,000 extra, couple car payments, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about on the monthly basis. So at some point, we all gonna make a choice if the $1,000 when we reach the level is enough or we wanna go further. And what I realized, this is my ticket to the American dream. And I took this seriously and work hard, and here we are.
So let's talk about the American dream for a moment, because one of the things that it actually excites me, one of the first people that I met at one of the BPs that I went to the business presentations was Visa. And, you know, Visa, she has a little bit of an accent, and she was an executive consultant, though. She got up and spoke in front of the crowd and gave a little
testimony. She makes me feel good with my accent.
Well, hey, now I'm going to tell you something, and I thought this, and I've told her this before. And I thought, with all the things that I have at my disposal, you know, we've got someone that's from a foreign country. She does have an accent, and it's a pretty thick accent, and she is the sweetest person you've ever met in your life. But if she can get to executive consultant, you know, what in the world am I doing, you know, not getting there? And it's not as easy as you might think, as you very well know. It takes some work, and I've always felt like I'm a pretty talented guy, and it's not easy, but the reality is sometimes success can curb some of your intensity and other things if you've had it before or you're currently having it. But one thing that you shared with me, and I brought up Visa because there are many people that are from other countries that have really made the most of this Ambit opportunity. I look at the stick-to-itness that some of the immigrants have and some of the things they've accomplished. And I think as an American born here, you know, I didn't do anything special to be born here. I just happened to be born here. But others are from other places. And, you know, you talked a little bit in our pre-show about some of the different countries. And you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned bananas and you mentioned bread with ham that I was almost embarrassed to say it, that I had on my countertop. You know, I remember I had this morning, I got three or four bananas that are kind of brown and getting, you know, not looking so good, and three or four that are brand new, ready to go for whatever. And that was, you had mentioned that you were like one of the only kids that got to bring fresh fruit to eat in school when you were growing up. And, man, that's not the world we presumably live in here in America. So can you share a little bit about your growing up and your appreciation, you know, for what we have in America?
Well, I left my own country 28 years ago. 24 years I spent here in the States already. And what I realized, you know, this mostly of us are taking everything for granted, or specifically people which has been born here, has been privileged to be born here. We took a lot of things for granted. And in my case, I've been born in a communist country, and I've been very fortunate to have a little bit more than the average kid out there. But having banana in a recess, you know, and eating in a school of 600 kids, and mostly the kids never had banana in their mouth, you know, he said, from one side, you know, yeah, you want to bring the banana to school to show off, but from another side, you know, you feel bad. And I know this sounds probably silly for some of you guys, but this was the reality. You know, we just had friends from Germany, and from Germany, we're not talking about some third world country, we're talking Germany, and they were looking this weeding watermelon with no seeds. And we don't even realize this dead don't, because it's too expensive. The regular watermelon in Germany costs a lot of money. And on top of it, you know, we felt bad because we had a yellow watermelon and no seed watermelon. That were, I'm not trying to say they have never tried or never eat, but this is a rare occasion, you know, when they have the opportunity, not on the regular basis. So I don't take anything for granted, and mostly people which are coming here, they don't take this opportunity for granted. We realizing this is, you know, for crying out loud, you and me, we are part of the largest deregulation in the history of this country, and ordinary people like myself, like you, we can take advantage of this opportunity using Ambit, using Ambit system and everything Ambit is providing for us. So I like to have fun in life, and I always say, if I want to eat Polish sausage and have a mediocre kind of lifestyle, I would stay in my own country and would not allowed, you know, to be discriminated and go through all the pain. And, you know, this is not easy to living in a country and not being able to express yourself and give anything back. But I've been through this in Germany once, and now here, and here in the States, coming with nothing, starting from the jobs, you know, you don't even want to know even what I did, you know, in the past, just to eat, just to, you know, have enough money for a train, for, you know, the necessity which you need on a daily basis. And when Ambit came along, having all the experiences in the past, living in a communist country, living in a socialistic Germany, I was willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to succeed. And I'm pretty sure, you know, every single immigrant approached this with the same way. All of you lucky people which are born in this nation, you would go overseas to whatever country you want to go and spend there a few months and see what people do for fun. You know, everything is much more basic, you know, and I think I wish this would be the case here, and we would probably focus on the right values, family values, the the conservative Christian values, you know, which ones we really cherish here. And but nothing is, it's not too late, you know. Having my friends visiting with us make our entire family realize how lucky we are to be part of United States, to be citizen in this great nation. To my children are born here, so I'm laughing. Probably one of my sons will be the first Polish president of United States. We're gonna utilize on those opportunities as much as we can. But the biggest thing which I earned through Ambit is the peace of mind and this I am able to raise my children with my wife on a daily basis. And this is something, you know, what is the most important, you know, thing for me.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really picked up in our pre-interview and when we're you know, recording this show today, it's in July of 2016. So if you're listening to it later, when we're talking about Germany and his friends visiting and some of the things that were kind of blowing their mind about a watermelon without seeds that we totally take for granted, there's a million other things that I'm sure we take for granted. And if you are currently an Ambit consultant, what we're doing today is really designed to take top leaders and pick their brains and see how we can be more successful based upon their experiences. And I'm always appreciative of the leaders that invest in this show, because there's nothing in it necessarily for them. It's a matter of them just investing in Ambit Nation as a whole, trying to help people. So if you're currently an Ambit consultant, look in the mirror. Think about it. A seedless watermelon, you know, having air conditioning, having cable TV, I mean, all the things we just take for granted. That so many others don't. And I love it when I hear Tien Bui. He talks about how many episodes of Games of Thrones he's watched. He already talks about how many episodes of Dancing with the Stars. He says zero. And then he talks about one of his kids and how many of the recitals that he has missed, and he says zero, because of the opportunity that Ambit has afforded him and his family, you know, to be able to participate in those kind of things. So I think it's a good kind of transition to talk about, you know, memories that Ambit has created. Can you talk about a few memories that Ambit has been able to create for you and your family, or just being part of Ambit over the years that it's created for you?
Well, funny you ask, because this, you know, I learned this long time ago from some wise man. This life is about creating memories. And I've been very fortunate with my wife to be able to create great memories with our children, with their loved ones on a regular basis. And at the end of the day, Doug, you know, all the wealth, all the money, all the properties, businesses, cars, when you close your eyes for the rest time, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you and doesn't matter to the rest of the world, you know, how many properties you have owned. The only thing people will talk at your funeral, those are the moments, you know, you spend with them. And I feel like my success, not my business, is my business card to the world. My children and how I raised them, this will be the business card to the world, who I was as a father. And I'm trying. I didn't have that. You know, I had pretty decent life because my father provided well, considering I was born and raised in a communist country. I didn't have a father. I didn't have somebody who I admire. I didn't have him at all sometimes for a year or two at a time. He was working outside the country. So this is what I don't want to do to my kids. And every moment, every opportunity I have, I'm able to spend with them. I'm trying to do my best. And sometimes that is hard. I have two teenagers at home, so I'm trying to eBay them once in a while and downsize our family. But joking to the side, you know, it's a true blessing for the past 8 years to be able, like you were saying about Tim, to be able sometimes or mostly at the time be the only father going on the school trips, you know, visiting and have lunch with my kids on the ordinary days, you know, so with my wife together and watching them every morning to go to school while picking them up. You know, I just said this before to someone today, you know, the best moments which I was able to create happen every single Monday morning when I'm waking up next to the woman I love. When I'm watching my kids waking up, when I am picking them up, when I am going through the daily routines with them every single day. Yeah, this didn't happen overnight. I put awful lot of effort, you know, into Ambit originally 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago. So this for the rest of my life, I can enjoy them. And talking about one particular moment, I'm laughing. I kept all the females excited in the state of Illinois for the first 3.5 years, sharing with them one silly story. I was sitting in my basement office in Chicago, working Ambit, sitting at my folding table in a basement, watching my 2-year-old son back then peeing in a standing position all over the wall, screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, look." I have not missed the first pee in a standing position, and every woman wants what I did. This was not about what we do, what we sell. This is not about Ambit. People join you, and I think, you know, this little silly story about my 2-year-old Kyle peeing in a standing position make all the parents, at least, you know, especially female, which have missed the first word, the first step, because they were chasing money, they were employed, they were working hard, and they want what I had, regardlessly what I was representing. So keep this in mind. It's not about Ambit as much as this originally about you. Ambit comes later. Ambit keeps people in our business for a very long time because of what is Ambit, what Ambit have to offer to all of us. But originally they are joining you, they're joining your little story. We're in a storytelling business, and the little story about Kyle peeing got me yellow jacket.
Yeah, well, you know what, and it's funny, as you were kind of going through that whole story, I thought about this for a minute, and if at any point during my kids, you know, they're both adults now, but while they were going to elementary school, if mom and dad had both shown up at school at the same time, first of all, who knows, normally the parents, I mean, now that they've gotten to know you at the school, I'm sure everything's fine, but a lot of times if that happens, they probably think something's wrong at the school.
This was the case with us. They felt sorry for us. They listen to us, they hear our funny accent, you know, we both have Polish accent with my wife, and I was certain that they were feeling sorry for us. They thought we're struggling, you know, because we're both walking our kids with our dog, you know, to school. And now over time, obviously, we're living here for in Texas for a few years already. They know what daddy is doing. My kids are good sales people, you know. Mm-hmm. I wish I could sign them up already and use the recruiting tool, additional recruiting tool, which we have. But yeah, they're admiring us now. But originally, yeah, we were getting funny looks.
Well, and think about that, guys. I mean, you know, it's, you know, if you're not driving down the road right now, don't do this if you're driving down the road, but close your eyes for a second and think about it. If you and your significant other, your spouse, showed up at your kid's school, what would the teachers and the principal or whoever's there at the front desk think? Would they even know who you are, first of all? Probably not, because most people don't go very often. And then number two, what would your kid think if you actually both went and sat down with them and ate lunch? Imagine if your kids are older. Imagine going back to second, third grade, something like that, and being able to sit down with your kids and eat lunch with them. What would that feeling be like? And you know, you can't go back in the past, obviously, but you can do something about it now. And like I said, if you're a consultant, that's what this is for. This is to tell you about experiences. This is a guy that's the real deal, right here in studio with me today. And Peter Aluta is telling us about his experiences and the things that he's gone through and how he's made it here in America, you know, and made it happen with this great opportunity, you know, transferring the stories, telling and getting people engaged in what's going on. So, you know, as we kind of continue down the path, do you typically have objections that someone throws out at you? I know you said that you don't lead with ambit. You kind of build a relationship. You smile at them. You get to know them. You're talking about them. But once you've had an opportunity to show them the presentation materials that we have, and then somebody says, well, hey, thanks, Peter. I really appreciate that. But, hey, I kind of want to think about it. And then you ask them, you know, what do you want to think about, or what's your concern or whatever? What's the number one objection that you typically get, and how do you transition through that and typically overcome it?
Well, in the old days, when our opportunity cost $429, typically we have two objections: was money and time. And guys, whatever I'm gonna share with you, you gotta be very careful, because you might offend some people. But I always use my little Polish charm and try to become, before the presentation, try to find something in common with the people. And I ask always for permission. And basically, when people throwing at me, hey, Peter, it sounds great, but you know, I'm extremely busy, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to fit this into my schedule, I kind of try to figure out what they're doing and ask them, guys, you know, so Doc, you are 21-year-old, 41-year-old, whatever, you know, you are. You have two children. You hardly see them. You're working 2-3 businesses at the same time. For how long? Well, for the past 10 years, Peter. So great. You know, can I be frank with you? I ask for permission, and typically people give me the permission. And I said, Doc, you've been doing this for 10 years. What is your plan to change that? Because, I mean, do you see something wrong with that? And same thing with money, Doug. You know, sometimes people, even $100 is a struggle for them to open a business on the spot. I asked, okay, let me summarize, you know, your story a little bit. You're 42, 52, 100 years old, whatever they are, you know. You have 3 children. You have no children, whatever the circumstances are. You've been born in this country, and you don't have $100. How does it make you feel? And this is the moment of truth, because you can see, and a lot of people can't do that. I get it. They can't even talk like this with their own sister or brother. But this is what helped me to create followership. You see, followership or leadership is about helping another individuals to do the things they can't do on their own. They will follow you, period. It's not about telling them. It's about helping them. And those are the moments, you know, where I realize, and I've been told many times this, nobody ever talked to me that way. I never thought this, I never look at my life, you know, this way. But you see, we make the mistakes, we're trying to convince people, you know, to do this, this is gonna be good for them. I try to open their, you know, get their blood flowing a little bit faster, you know, and make them the decision if this is good fit for them. but I don't let them off the hook, you know, because they're telling me, oh, I'm going to go and do my research. I smile. I say, great, this sounds awesome. You know, can I ask you a question? You see, at this point, I already let them go. The guards is down. I ask them simply, can I ask you a question? Yeah, sure. Where are you going to go to do the research? Because I've been doing this for 8 years and I wouldn't know where to start.
You know, those are a couple of things I really want to reiterate is when you're talking to people, you talk about summarizing them. Now, here's the thing, guys. It's hard to summarize someone if you did all the talking and you didn't listen to them. Okay, so God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen twice as much as you talk. So really get to know them, really process through that, and then it puts you in a position where you can summarize what the conversation was. And then I love the part about, you know, what's your plan for change? Because, you know, most people want to make more money. They want another opportunity. They want more. They just don't know how to get there, which leads us into the next place. He talked about leadership, and, you know, that's helping others do things that they can't do on their own. And you talk about having that tough conversation about asking them, hey, what is your plan, okay, to really do that? I understand you want to do research, and that's great. Where do you plan on researching it at? Asking those tough questions, but if you try to do it spur of the moment, for the first time you ever talk to somebody about that, you will be very confrontational and it'll be a train wreck. You got to practice. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, you see, people ask me all the time, how do you present this opportunity to people? What do you think, Peter, is the best way to present this opportunity? I don't even think about presenting, to be honest, Doug. The presentation doesn't make any difference. You see, what makes difference is you have only 5 seconds of fame here in our business. The way they're going to reach you, or either they're going to reach you positively or negatively. If they don't like you, doesn't matter what you're going to show them. Doesn't matter. The presentation doesn't matter. People buying you first, and they already like you or they don't. If they don't like you, if you guys have nothing in common with them, then they're not going to join. You can give them money. You can give them God knows what. You know, they're not going to join no matter what. And this is, I think, the misconception here in our business. People think with more tools, if I show them more, you know, flip charts and this charts and that charts and number this and we the fastest in this. This all doesn't matter. Every single company is number one in something. Maybe in our Cook County or this county, whatever the number one.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And what I realize, you know, the most important part is me. And how you're going to, if you're positive, if you're happy, if you're excited, people will rely to that. And if they don't, because they're miserable, then you're going to weed them very fast, you know, and you're not going to waste any time on the negative. So I do not show presentation to everybody, Doug. I have an extremely good closing ratio because the people I show the presentation to, that deserve the presentation. Those are the people which I kind of pre-qualified over the phone or having personal coffee with them or going to Starbucks, whatever. And if somebody doesn't have any interest, and I tell even them, Doc, you see, the best part is I tell them what they think. I can listen to them, like you said. I share my personal why. This is the moment when they're opening themselves. If you don't have a why, this is the problem. Mostly of us don't. And if you don't share your why, they're not going to share their why. They're never going to even develop any why. They're never going to have any chance to develop in their downline any why. So all of a sudden, you're building sandcastle. This is all based on emotions. And, or you know, I'm laughing. You know, either they like Peter Luther or they don't. And I tell them in the face. I drive. I met somebody in, you know, a couple miles away from here. I drove over there 2 hours to meet them. And they look at me, why? We could have a conversation on the phone. And I told them recently, no, this is about you and me. And I was willing to invest 2 hours of my personal time to drive here one way, to sit down with you for 10 minutes, because I want to speed up the process for you and me. If you like me, you're going to join right now. If you don't, we're going to have coffee, we shake hands, and I move on with my life. And this is not about Ambit being number one, Ambit doing this, Ambit having $1.5 million, whatever, you know, it is. This sounds great. But this is not about that. This is helpful after the join. This is my humble opinion. This is how I pursued this business for the past 8 years.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because I know a lot of times we get hung up on the accolades and we start kind of showing up and throwing up and, you know, throwing all this information at them that, frankly, they can't even really process at all anyway. And, you know, it's about that relationship, and people want to join a winning team. They really do. And the question is do they want to get on your team or not? And, you know, we talk a lot about this, and I'll compliment you, not just because you're in my office today, but, you know, you always dress nice. You're always on your A game every time I've ever seen you. And you come across in a very professional manner. And people want to be around people like that. You know, that's a situation. Doesn't matter if you're at a meeting, at a training, anywhere I've ever seen you, you're always dressed for success. And, you know, when you're out presenting to people, you talk about getting in front of them, and you're making that investment of your time to meet them in person, and you don't show the presentation to everyone because you've spent some time with them and you've got such a good closing ratio. And that's kind of all to answer that question about overcoming that objection. And the reality is that you don't have to overcome nearly as many objections when you act professionally, whenever you listen, when you ask good questions, you spend time with them. And if at some point, the other side of this is there's some people you don't want on your team, okay? Not to just overly talk about things in the Bible or whatever, but Proverbs 13:20 talks about he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I know I don't want anybody in my downline, and I know as big as yours is, as much you got going on, you don't want somebody in your downline that is embarrassing to you, or that is calling consultant support, acting like a fool, or, you know, nobody wants that kind of stuff. So even if you can make a little money with them, it's not always about the money. You want to build a team of people that you want to be around, that you enjoy, and that you all have a common, you know, direction that you're going in. So that's great information, you know, for processing, you know, through that part of it.
I have said to many people, if you're not excited as I am after watching this presentation, I don't want you on my team. You're going to slow me down. Guys, we all have 24 hours, and we can only work with so many people individually. And this is the best part in this business, this we are not obligated. I tell people all the time, if you watch this presentation and you're not as excited as I am, I don't even want you on my team. The best part of our business, we are able to choose the business partners we want to invest our personal time. And as I mentioned before, we only have, all of us, 24 hours a day. And I want to invest my time and my energy into somebody who deserves my time, not need my time. And I discourage several people in the past 8 years and not to join, just to become my customers, enjoy the savings. This is not for you. If anything changes in your life in the future and the circumstances will change and will be better timing, you call me then. And you would be surprised if you tell all of a sudden people fighting to be on your team, and more than you can imagine. So we're looking, you know, I like the way Ray approached this business. I am all in. I'm looking for $1 billion business partners. At some point, this business from $1,000 a month became mine multi-million dollar business. And at this point, I'm looking for people which are as crazy as I am, which are willing to pay the price. And as Luke Holtz would say, you know, famous coach, success is simple, it's just expensive, and not everybody is willing to pay the price. I'm the living proof that anybody can do this. But I'm looking for people which are willing to do this, because I have 3 kids. I don't need a 4th one, Doc. I love my kids, and I want to keep the number as 3. And I don't need a 4th child. I need a business partners, and then I go to work. You know, I do my best, you know, to help them, to kind of pay it forward. This is what we do, to open the doors, not to make them successful, but to give them all the opportunities, all the tools they need to get themselves to make themselves successful.
Very good. Now we're kind of nearing close to the end of the show, and I just want to squeeze in a few more ideas or a few more questions. And one of them is, you know, we've heard a lot about some of the good times, and I know there's been, you know, the ramp up was a little bit slow, but can you tell us just about maybe one of the most frustrating times you've had within Ambit? Because we're going to run into those. There's going to be some fantastic times. There's going to be some terrible times. It's like any other kind of relationship. And but what one of those times were, and then how you progressed through that to get to the other side?
Well, I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I'm being frustrated in this business pretty much every single day. Pretty much every single day I'm trying to quit. And the good news is I developed thick skin, and when I feel like I want to give up, last about 30 seconds, then I have my little toys in my office, which kind of make me smile and make me realize how blessed and lucky I am. And my wife is my best friend and my best best supporter, but also my best critic. And she kind of fixed me very quickly, reminding me where I came from. And this this is a reason why Embit sent me a lot of money, because I can handle that. And I go out there, you know, back to the marketplace, I call this, and do it again and again and again. I think success, and you've been very successful in your ranks, in your businesses, you know, this is not about, you know, overnight success. Nobody succeeds overnight. This is about how many times you're going to fail and how many times you have the strength and passion to get up back again and do it over and over again. The worst thing we're dealing here is negativity, is plain stupidity. You know, we don't want to use those words because we're living in a political correctness, you know. I am not like that. If you know me already by now, I like to call it the way it is. And there are two sicknesses in the world you can't fix with the pill: stupidity and laziness. And if you don't want to deal with that, then again, become a customer, enjoy the savings, and we're all happy. But if you are willing to deal with that, and once in a while, in between all the have to deal on a daily basis, you're going to find diamonds. And those moments, you know, will carry pretty much for the rest of your life. You know, there will be able, the few people which you're going to be able to find on your path will last generation, basically. This is why we have the opportunity to create generational wealth with Embit, by finding those handful of people. We're not looking for thousands, and this is the misperceptions of all new consultants. They're hearing these huge numbers of your downline, Brian downline, Mary downline, this downline, that the numbers are overwhelming. When I heard the numbers when I got started, I want to kill myself. This is never going to happen for a poor Polish immigrant, you know. But I focus on one person at a time, and you only want one or two. This is all you need, pretty much. Brian McClure wealth is based on three guys. It's not based on 300,000 guys. The 300,000 became byproduct of three people succeeding. And if you understand the concept, and I think this is the genius of Embit system, this for $100 and a lot of work and passion and willingness to be become a visionary, because you need to have some visionary skills here. We do something out of nothing. We're creating tremendous multi-million dollar businesses based on $100 investment and our time. This is all you need: your passion, your heart, your effort, whatever you want to call this. It's your time. And I've been very fortunate, you know, not only to have great mentors and leaders and constantly educating myself. I have moments where my business slowed down, and I realized this after the fact, why my business slowed down, Doug, because as John Maxwell would say, you know, you need to lift your lid, you know. I realized at some point this, I couldn't help my business to grow more because I needed to grow. You see, just joking around, you know, my wife calls me out William Wallace. I'm a Polish William Wallace. I lead from the front. And sometimes I start managing, you know, I become the guy on the white horse sitting on the sideline, you know, of the fight, and start telling people what to do. And those were the moments when my business slowed down. And we need to go out there, and we need to do what we need to do on a daily basis in order to open doors for our downlines, for our organizations to go, to have a smoother walk, to have a better, easier way, you know, to get where they want to go. This is not about telling people. This is about showing people, you know. It's about helping them. It's about working with them in the trenches. I can tell you from my perspective, and this is, you can verify that I sponsor more than anybody in my entire organization personally. I've been to more meetings, to more markets, etc. And I can go on and on and on. This is not because I don't have what I have. because I am more talented, because I'm taller, skinnier, whatever, smarter. Absolutely not, guys. Matter of fact, I think it's the opposite way. That's why I realized the only way for me to succeed is not by tricking the system. It's not becoming smarter than Brian, but I knew I can outwork Brian. I can outwork anybody out there. And realizing my strength and my weaknesses from the beginning helped me to focus on my strength and work on my weaknesses, and also not trying to chase Brian, Steve's and Carlos and Ray, the guys with 100 years of experience. I understood, you know, this, I can increase my productivity by numbers, not by smarts.
Well, you know, and one of the things, it's interesting because you mentioned Brian and talking about from three different legs, if you will. He actually mentioned that in a training the other day. I was out in Tyler, and he mentioned that the numbers of, not to depress anybody, but the numbers of people that actually, you know, get promoted and different things, and where the majority out of, I think he said there's like maybe 400,000 people that have signed up for Ambit ever, and something like 3/4 of them are in his downline. But the majority of his income comes from three people, and one of them was you, Peter. He gave you credit for that, and then one of them was Ray, and then one of them was Philip Eckert. And so, you know, it's interesting that you talk about you only need a few. They go get a few, they get a few, and then all of a sudden you look up and some amazing things can happen.
The tricky part, Doc, you don't know who the few will be.
Right.
That's why people like you and me, we're willing to dig through 50, 100, whatever we need to go through, you know, in order to find those few. To be honest with you, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years. I'm still looking for me.
Well, you know, it reminds me of that story of the pessimistic twin and the optimistic twin. You know, there's two kids, two little five-year-olds, and, you know, it's Christmas time, and, you know, one of them, you know, they wanted a new pony, and one of them gets a little car you can kind of ride on, you know, and then one of them gets a big dump truck load of horse poop. And the one that gets the little red car to drive around, and he's throwing it around, he's all mad and upset because, you know, he didn't get a pony. And the other one that got the load of crap is throwing it up in there, looking around, and what is going on? Why are you so excited? He goes, with all this crap around here, there's got to be a pony somewhere. And, you know, the reality is that you got to go looking for that pony, and you don't know where it's going to be. It may be in a pile of it, or it might be, you know, somewhere else, and it may be easy, but you just got to keep plugging away always.
Look at that. You know, I started this business in Chicago, where I felt fairly comfortable. I've been living there for 15 years prior to Ambit. Look at my life. I'm living with my beautiful family in McKinney, Texas. I never thought, you know, this is going to happen to me. And I'm blessed. I'm living in an amazing state, which I think is the best state in the union. I'm very proud to be a Texan, right? For the past 5 years. And so I really was willing, you know, no matter what this meant, you know, I was willing to pay the price. I was willing to leave everything behind in order to be in this place in my life. And I'm not trying to scare you guys. This, you guys are going to have to move across the country in order to succeed. Because as you mentioned before, we all need our foundation. And my foundation for the rest of my career with Ambit Energy will be Chicago. This is where my legacy, you know, will belong. This is where I have my foundation. I have a strong organization still on the ground 8 years later. And I built on top of the foundation. So the grass is not greener across the, you know, in different places, you know. If you're not going to be able to establish something going in your neck of the woods, don't chase the dream, you know. You're just going to spend a lot of money. This is what Brian taught me very well 8 years ago. I remember when we were expanding in New York, when we were thinking about different states, I was ready to go. And he said, just sit tight, brother. Wait for the business to get you there. When the business gets you there, you go and visit your business. He said, I didn't come to Chicago after you promote to a senior position. This is the first time when I actually met Brian McClure, or Brian McClure visits Chicago. So he didn't chase because Peter Luda joined. He waited, and he was waiting for me to show him what I got, if I deserve his time. And so it's a funny way, you know, to approaching the business, you know, definitely, you know, the system, and follow what the leaders are doing.
In addition to that, are there a couple of things that you might recommend that a new marketing consultant comes in, whether it's reading a book or any particular activity, something just almost kind of a continuing education where they can get some walking away orders from this podcast right now to do something?
You see, I read some fascinating books in the past 8 years, which helped me tremendously in my growth. But my strength is I read people. You see, I remember going on 5-star trips. This was moments when my wife was getting pampered, you know, with Caroline Thompson and Leslie Chambliss. I was watching all the mega stars, you know, how they were reacting after a couple glasses of wine, how they were addressing their downlines on the phone, how they were answering the text messages, how they were treating Jerry and Chris, how Chris was and Jerry were treating us. So you see, I live in so many different places. I know how to read people. This is my strength. This is all I got. And I love to be around people. This is something, you know, what is like some people locking themselves in the room and reading book. I don't get much out of it. I like to be around people. I'm a people watcher. You know, this go all the way to my childhood. I've been extremely sick as a child. I was the kid sitting on a bench from age 6 to 14. I was not physically active. I was medicated heavily, and I become people watcher. I just watch kids playing, becoming bullies, becoming nice. You know, their behavior would change according to the circumstances, and I use this right now. I never complain. I got healed when I was 14 years old, and I was able to be active and physically active and emotionally active, you know, in the society. But I use the experience from my entire childhood, even now, because I like to watch people. You mentioned before, I don't watch too many shows on TV. You put me in a mall. I don't like malls, but I like to watch people reacting in a mall. This is where I get my motivation, where I get my wisdom, you know, dealing with people, listening to their opinions, listening to good and bad, because we all have it.
You know, it's a lot of great information I've picked up here, and you know, it's the Lou Holtz quote about, you know, a lot of people are not willing to pay the price. It's expensive, you know, and for success and listening to people and reading people. Now, is there a book on that? Maybe there's some of them out there, but what I do know is that Peter, you know, you talk about a time in your life when you were sick as a child that you learned from that and made the best from it. You talk about being from a communist country. You try to make the best out of that. You know, you come to America, and I've heard you talk about some of the jobs that you've done, and you know, I mean, in every complimentary way, man. You got your nice, you know, you'll come in with your nice jeans on and your jacket and your cowboy boots, man, and you look. I mean, you look like $1 million for real. I mean, really do. And to think of that guy cleaning toilets somewhere, you know, not so many years ago. That's a different thing, but you learn from that. You persevered, you kept at it, and you know, that's why you are who you are and you're doing what you're doing, and you paid the price earlier, again, so that now you can do all these fun things with your kids and have those memories that you'll never, you know, you either have the memories or you don't have the memories, and you've got them, and man, I feel so privileged to have been able to spend, you know, about an hour with you and absorb this information and you know, go back and apply. That's what my game plan is. I'm appreciative of you, Carl, because I know how busy you are and got the things going on.
Talking about creating memories, I'm gonna give you a brief story. I was sitting once a couple years back, 2 years back, with Jerry Thompson on a bench for about 45 minutes and talking about life. Matter of fact, you know, one thing with Jerry, I never talk about business. I never talk about anything in regards of business. We only talk about children. And I remember, you know, a couple of years back, I told him this, we trying to get ready, me and my wife, you know, to take our kids back home to our grandparents, which they never met, to their grandparents, which they never met. And we trying to create this perfect scenario of this amazing European trip, you know, we're going to take and show them all the beauty of our country or our past country. And he smiles, you know, this man is so wise. He smiles and he said, Peter, you know what? I have made the mistakes with my 5 kids. Why don't you just go? And I remember he just looked at me and said, just go. You're gonna drag them to all those museums, to all the places. And at the end of the day, flying back home, they're going to remember having ice cream with you in a park and the dog was barking. This is all they're going to remember. And my wife is still throwing this in my face because she tried to convince me to go to Europe, you know, much sooner. And I refused because I want to create the perfect scenario. And after Jerry told me that, we went 2 years ago. The first time I actually went after 25 years, you know, to visit my own country, because I was influenced in some sense, you know, you can say by Jerry, just saying it's never perfect scenario, never perfect timing to do anything in life. Just do it, guys.
You know, I'm glad to hear that your wife says the same things to you that my wife says to me, and that she's like, I've been telling you that forever, and as soon as somebody else tells you, now you go do it. And I always go back to say, hey, look, it was your idea originally. You planted the seed. They just watered it and fertilized it a little bit and made it sprout up. So, yeah, just go. You know, that's good. There's never a perfect time for things. And if you're considering this Ambit opportunity, maybe you are tuning in and you have not been exposed to it, but somehow you ran across this, you know, I would encourage you to investigate it and just do it. Just jump out there and make it happen. It really is a life-changing opportunity. And like I said, as we wrap up here, you know, Peter, I just want to thank you so much for your time, the investment you've made in Ambit Nation. You know, we all kind of work together. You don't get paid off of anything I do. I don't get paid off anything that you do. We're just together for the betterment of the organization. And so I'm so proud to be able to do this with you. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me here. And yeah, exactly what you said. If more of us will succeed in Ambit, the easier for the rest will be. And we're all helping each other on a daily basis. I would not be here if a lot of people would not reach out while I was in Chicago, in my desert, and help me with motivating me physically, you know, helping me on a regular basis. So I appreciate you and everything you do.
Well, we're standing on the shoulders of giants from generations before, and there's more generations to come. So as we continue to work together, it really helps out the overall scheme of what's going on. So, guys, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.